B-Pod Studios.
What?
No, we're on a regular jet.
Don't you have your own row?
You might can take a row. You know, if you have enough,
enough cred?
You have enough cred.
But, so what if I don't have enough cred?
Then you have
your knees are hitting your chin.
Yeah,
am I ever sitting three or four in a row?
No, you never sit three or four in a row.
You'll have two, keep the middle seat open?
Yeah.
That's a fine item.
Remember how big these
guys are, though.
Yeah. I understand.
You have to keep the middle seat open, though. That's a must.
Yeah, it's the buffer zone.
It has to be a buffer zone.
I'm saying I agree with you.
Yeah, so I think that's about it. And then, but it's not, we're not like, everybody has captain seats. It's just
the NBA.
No, it's not the NBA.
Yeah. One airline I saw is trying to do away with reclining seats altogether.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Which I think I support.
I don't.
You haven't had a laptop crushed by the guy in front of you before, I take it.
I've come close. That happened to you? Your laptop
snapped? Not like completely crushed, but like to enough where I wanted to kind of punch the guy in the back of the neck.
But you gotta have better seat awareness.
Well, a lot of people don't because
that's
a lot of people are awful. So for that reason alone, I support the recline.
You know what we need in life? Better communication. That's what we need.
good luck.
If I was having an all-nighter or whatever and I got on a flight to, like, first, we'll talk to Frank Gandalli. He flies all the time. I would tell the person behind me, first off, I'd eye the person up. And if they were looking like Trey, where they were like 6'7", 6'8", yeah, I ain't putting that seat back. But if it was a smaller person, I'd be like, hey, just a heads up, I'm probably going to be reclining this thing.
Yeah, most people don't give that courtesy or that much thought. They just do it. And if your laptop or something is out and it hits it, oh, man, it makes your blood boil.
Oh, that I agree with. No doubt about that one. But, better communication, I think, needs to be said all around. By the way, I saw something when I got back from my flight from Denver that I'd never seen before. You know how they'll sometimes make an announcement? Hey, let the people that have a connection get off the plane first.
Yeah.
And kind of get out of their way.
Yeah, it's a nice move.
It happened.
Wow. No, I've seen it. Yeah, that's funny. I've seen it happen.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Whatever, I don't know, 700,000 miles in the sky, whatever. Bob, I know you flew around with the team. You got a lot more than that. I've never seen that ever. I've heard the announcement a million times. Never seen it actually executed. Where people stepped aside and let the people that with connections run off the flight. Because we were delayed like an hour. And I was like, there's hope for us all.
If we can
be nice on a flight together, there's hope for humanity after all.
There's three ways that I think you can really learn something about a person.
Oh, okay.
One is playing basketball with them.
Absolutely.
Two is playing golf with them.
Totally.
Three is watch how they travel.
Absolutely.
I swear, I used to love when I was traveling, just sitting on a plane and watching either the ignorance of people, of people behind them,
yes,
or just, it's all about me world.
Mm-hmm.
And the other people that are very conscious and very, those are the people that I would want to hire. Those are the people I'll have a beer with. Those other ones go away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That and how they treat a wait staff. I always throw that one in the mix.
Yeah, that's good,
when
too.
When they're a jerk to a waiter, I'm done with
that. Oh, out.
Hit the bricks. That's what I say.
Go on.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. And you are listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Bank's mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life. Stay connected with Univest Bank. Talking a lot about the 76ers and the motivating factors that go into this game when you are the Brooklyn Nets. And we talked about the situation that unfolded after game two. The elbow situation happened with Joel Embiid into Jared Allen's throat. And then LeVert, after the game, kind of took exception to the fact that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were kind of laughing it up.
Well, not kind of.
Well,
they were.
Here's the thing. And, Jamie, let's get that cut. Cutting. Joel Embiid, after the game, I thought, was trying to explain himself a little bit. Ben Simmons starts laughing first. And that catches Joel Embiid off guard. And that makes him laugh. It's like if one kid in class laughs.
That's exactly what it is.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
Here's the way it unfolded the other day after game two when Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons were at the podium.
Obviously, it wasn't intentional, and I got him pretty good, and I'm sorry about it. But okay. Okay. I'm sorry about it. It wasn't intentional, but it's just me trying to be aggressive. I'm not usually humble. That's why he's laughing. But, I was just trying to be aggressive.
Is that the perfect cover-up? I'm not usually humble. That's why Ben's laughing? Or is Ben laughing because he's like, yeah, you're full of it?
Yeah, I'll go with the latter.
Yeah, as much as I would like to think Joel Embiid kind of knows what's what and media savvy and apologize and be sincere and all that stuff, when Ben starts losing it, that's because he knows the guy next to him is just trying to appease, I don't know, try not to ruffle feathers more so than he already did. Mm-hmm. That's really what I get out of it.
Yeah.
As much as I'd like to believe the other, I got to go with my gut, and my gut is Ben's like, dude, you're so full of it. Like you're trying, but you know, God bless you. God bless you for trying. So then they go up to Brooklyn yesterday, and they have their own media day, right? And their media day. They have their own media sessions and whatnot, talking about game two, or game three. And they decide to go ahead and ask some of the Nets members, including LeVert himself, about what exactly unfolded. What was his take on those two laughing it up after his teammate got an elbow to the throat? Here's LeVert on that.
Yeah, we didn't really like that. We thought that was kind of disrespectful, especially after the elbow he threw. It is what it is. You know, there's no love lost. You know, it's a playoff series. We expect that.
Caris LeVert saying that he's feeling the old disrespectful vibe from the 76ers. You see your teammate get elbowed. You see him laugh about it. If it happened here in Philadelphia, we would be screaming and yelling about it. On these very airwaves, we would have calls about it. People would be all pissed off about it. Are they going to use that? Can they use that as that extra motivating factor, similar to the Sixers and what they did when they needed a little extra push, whether that be the hometown crowd booing them on their own court, obviously, or whether that be a head coach going to the locker room and shaking things up? Can they use that same type of thing when they see their own teammate get hit and then they see two guys laughing about it? And it wasn't just JoJo. It was Ben and JoJo after the game, two of the big leaders on the team, Trey, as you say, two of the big leaders on the team laughing up a guy getting an elbow in the jugular.
Well, yeah, because they're looking for something outside to kind of help spark them. You know, what our players needed to work on is what's inside of them to kind of create that energy. They're not looking for outside influences. I think for the players we needed our players to get inspired so that they could go out there and play the game the way they needed to. So these guys are going to try to find whatever they can to try to, you know, to try to match their intensity. They already know that they're going up against a more talented team if they have their mind right. So they're going to try to find whatever they can to kind of, you know, all right, we need to go out here and get all amped up. But it's like what Mike Tyson said, man, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
One of the greatest quotes ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I really think that it's a kind of a desperation thing right now. It's what if you are confident in your abilities and your team's abilities enough that you could beat the other team, I think your response is, yeah, whatever. That doesn't bother me. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But if you need, like you talk about, Mark, and Trey hit it earlier, like if you need that extra motivation, Then you bring this up. Then you put it out there like as a rah-rah type of thing for you and your teammates. I kind of like what Trey said earlier. If it gets to that point, you're already lost.
Yeah, but the Sixers needed that.
Well, yeah, I think the Sixers needed to play harder, and they realized that, and the fans showed it to them. Mm. Like, you guys didn't give effort today. You suck, boo. I think these guys are looking and saying, ooh, I don't know if we can beat them. I think theirs is more thought out. The Sixers was a reaction that was correct.
Mm. I'm looking for, if I'm them, if I'm the Nets, I know this is the end all be all. This game right here, they take a game from us at home, they win back-to-back, they win in a similar fashion to the way they did in game two, where basically the Nets got pushed around. I mean, the Sixers went and played old-school basketball. We had people, when we talked about it on after game one, when we talked about it after game one on Monday, we talked about how we wanted to see more intensity. We wanted to see guys step up with better defense. We wanted to see the leaders on this team like Ben Simmons put forth a better effort than, what, 9 points in the game?
Mm-hmm.
And he came out with a triple-double, his second in his NBA career, mm-hmm, in the playoffs. That's not bad. You saw Joel Embiid step up even. He scored more points in this game. He was more efficient. Boban Marjanovic was hitting jumpers for you from the top of the key, from in the paint, all that stuff. You were seeing guys like J.J. Redick play a lot better defense. Jimmy Butler took a back seat, but had 7 assists in the game. All this stuff we wanted to see more of. Joel Embiid didn't take a single three-pointer in game 2. That was an adjustment.
But I think the boo was kind of like for what we would use ammonia cap to kind of snap you out of that little fall.
Oh, I like that.
You know what I'm saying? So the boo was kind of like, all right, you know what? That's hitting that ammonia cap. And it's like, all right, it's clearing that fog. And now your mind is right. You get ready to go and play the game. These guys are, they played their best game. They played a good game and still got beat by a more talented team when they had their mind right. Now, you think that what they're going to play even better? You know, Jay, when you're going to use that, they're like, all right, now we got to go score 170 points to go try to, you know, yeah. They played a solid game and you got beat by a more talented team because they got out of, they the boo is what got them out of the haze. And then now they got their mind right so that they can go out and dominate.
I like us being an ammonia capsule.
Yeah.
I've never heard
Philly. I'll be that.
Yeah, sure.
That fits.
Yeah, totally.
By the way, sorry to divert for a second here.
What's up?
Totally missed the proper title for the Boston Danglers day.
Oh, what do you got?
Robert Schaft.
Robert,
remember me?
Oh, come on.
Refresh my mind.
I mean, it just works, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We get into nice, deep Sixers Nets analysis, and he says, excuse me, Robert Schaft.
I had to divert it before break.
You are gone.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, talking about Schaft, that's one of the greatest songs to anything
ever.
With the woman chiming in. Hey, man, watch your mouth. See, watch Schaft. Your mouth or shut your mouth? Watch your mouth. Hey, I'm only talking about Schaft.
Yeah, I think
Isaac Hayes.
Shut your mouth.
The new one actually kind of looks good.
Okay, now it's Robert. It's I almost said Robert Schaft. It's John Schaft's son, right?
Yes. It's the grandfather Schaft and Schaft Jr.
Grandfather.
Yes.
So it's his grandson.
With a special cameo of Robert.
Yeah.
Robert Schaft.
If Samuel Jackson is Robert, then his father is involved in the three of them all team up and fight crime.
Is Richard Roundtree going to make a little appearance like he did in the Samuel L. Jackson Schaft?
Was he the father in the first? I never saw the original.
I don't know if he was the father or if he was just a guy hanging out in the precinct.
Oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I think it's not him, but Robert Schaft.
Robert Schaft. Well, and then, sorry, do they give him a leather jacket and shades?
I hope so.
That's awesome.
There you go. 610-632.
A duster.
Hey,
he's walking in.
Jamie?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
610-632-0975. Coming up, Ben Simmons. Now, there was the big story yesterday from Chris Sheridan. We talked a lot about it yesterday. We reached out, Jamie. We reached out to Chris Sheridan again, and we'll let you know what we got in return. We'll talk about that in a few. But Ben Simmons did say something yesterday during the media session that didn't make me feel good about how much I hope the story was inaccurate regarding Ben Simmons and what might have happened in Orlando. 610-632-0975. We'll let you hear that in a second. But right now, everyone, you got to know this. Everyone loves a nice green lawn, but you don't want to sacrifice the safety of your loved ones, and you don't want your kids, your neighbor's kids, your pets, your neighbor's pets, anybody running around on the lawn that's not as safe as it absolutely could be. So this season, call Natural Lawn of America because they use safer, organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety. They actually do keep your grass greener and keep those ugly weeds away. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. Whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And for a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full-service program. That's right, $100 off. If you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, the greatest live reader of all ever. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam
Wilson. Is
that
a title?
That's a title now.
Yes!
It'll say that on your business card. Sam Wilson, 10-day vacation.
Yeah.
10-day
vacation. Yeah. got a message from Sam the other day.
We got a message from Sam the other day.
Texted us yesterday.
Oh yes, about the guy that was sliding into our DMs, but trying to pay us a compliment.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, what? All right.
Do we think Sam legit just thought that guy was being nice?
Yep.
Or not. Okay, that was all I was going to say. No, but yeah, it was a very nice compliment of the show.
I looked at Trey and I go, Sam just sent us a screenshot of a thirsty fella in her DMs complimenting the show.
Yes.
Mm.
All right.
Horny online. Not a good look.
And I'm like, was that his screen name, Horny Online?
It might as well have been.
Was it Robert Kraft?
The Boston Dangler. Yeah,
that's his new screen name, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But in all seriousness, yeah, Sam's going to be out, unfortunately, for 10 days. We'll miss her. We have Pat Egan manning the phones for us. Pat Egan does a hell of a job dressing up his kid like a Game of Thrones character.
That was awesome.
That was phenomenal. I give him full marks.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Full credit. Even Bob Cooney's smiling at a Pat Egan action.
I'm smiling because I'm out of breath because... Andrew Salchunas and I took our morning walk down to the, cafeteria place type place, and there's construction going on. So the normal way that we come back was blocked.
Bob, you just take a breath.
Alternate route had to run.
Let's shut that mic off.
I'm good to go.
Is this a prank call? Anyway, coming up, we'll let you hear from Ben Simmons. Two things he said yesterday. One, I absolutely loved because it's something I believe in. And then two, the second, is something I absolutely hated because I feel like it gave credence to Chris Sheridan's story, which I think was 99.99999% BS. And we'll get into that coming up right in a second, but Mike and KOP wants to get into that NFL schedule. Mike, real quick, Sixers tonight. Do you have them beating the Nets?
No, I have them losing.
You have them losing tonight.
That doesn't surprise me.
Do you have them losing the series?
I don't have them losing the series, but they had to have their... like someone kick them in the butt just to get them to play. And you got to remember that they won. The Nets have put up 111 and 123 points. And the Sixers only won that game because they had a Herculean effort from everyone on the team. You're not going to get that effort again tonight. You're not going to have Boban scoring 17 points again tonight.
Yeah, I also don't think you're going to have Jimmy Butler score 7 points.
I'm just saying the Nets have been consistent here. It's the Sixers that have been fluctuating. So I don't know. I don't think they're going to win. And especially if someone elbowed me in the face and then just kind of laughed it off. And that's another thing. I know this is our team and I'm fine. Like, but this is like a highly unlikable team. Like, they're arrogant to a fault. And maybe it's just me, but if this was any other team in the NBA, I'd really hate them a lot.
What, the Sixers?
Yeah, the Sixers.
I'll give you this. I would hate Joel Embiid. if he wasn't a Sixer, I would hate him.
And Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons together, they're just like these arrogant two players that think they're so much better. They're like, guys, one, you can't stay on the court, and the other one, you can't shoot. You don't have a lot to be arrogant about, so get your heads in the game. That's my take on it.
But they're still winning the series.
They'll still win the series.
All right, I'll take that.
It's going to be a dogfight.
So 7 games?
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Six or seven.
All right. Mike, you're morphing into Inge.
I'm not morphing into Inge. I'm telling
you
realism here.
Is there ever any positive realism?
Well, why does that have to be positive? Why can't we just be a realist?
Why does it have to be negative? I'm just asking you. I wasn't saying that you have to be. I'm just asking if there's ever any positive realism with you.
There's a little cynicism involved, and yeah, that's fine. But class half empty. I'd rather be proven wrong.
Mike, Jake Arrieta's performance yesterday. ...
I don't really. Baseball's stupid. I don't really watch baseball. honestly, all the four sports, that's oh, hey, you want to be bored to death and go to sleep? Let's watch baseball. It's such a stupid sport.
Mike, you're a peach.
Anyway,
what do you got on the schedule?
I'm just glad the NFL is back. I'm sorry. April is for the draft. I'm so sick and tired of talking about all these other, lesser sports. It's football 365. That's all I really care about here. And, I'm just glad that the draft is next week. I haven't heard anything about the draft, and it's, depressing me because it's, halfway my favorite thing.
What's depressing you?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, Bob, there's a lot of things that depress me about this world, but you know, whatever. Like, I just love the draft, and I want to hear about it. And I was like, we're talking about Jake Arrieta, and we're talking about a team that's
talking about something that's happening now.
Yeah, we're not gonna. We're talking about a basketball team that's not gonna win a title. They're just gonna get bounced in the second round. So, like, I'd rather talk about like the NFL and possible Super Bowl.
Possible Super Bowl that's not gonna happen for almost a year.
That's just my thought process. Here you go.
I am amused by the thought process, Mike. Thanks for the call, man. Hope all is well with the new addition to the family.
Poor kid.
I wouldn't peg Mike for a huge football fan.
I wouldn't peg Mike for a fan.
he's a fan. He's fanatical.
He's a fan.
He's definitely fanatical.
I can't watch sports with people like that, that constantly look for the bad side of everything,
but that's the
in
thing.
Their opinion.
Then I wouldn't surprise... It surprises me that he's a big football fan. Because football, in general...
Has been.
Well, I'm just saying, football in general is a lot of BS. It's one game a week, and it's talk the rest of the way. Like, I'm not saying that's a bad thing for people. I'm just saying, for someone that we've talked to so often as Mike, that I wouldn't expect him to be all gung-ho football. I would actually expect more of a baseball fan because it's every day.
Yeah.
It happens. There's less BS, more action, more walkie-walkie, less talky-talky. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right. Now, speaking of talky-talky, let's get in this one right here because this upset me a little bit. But let's start it on a positive note here. The motivating factor for the 76ers. Now, both things kind of have to do with the Chris Sheridan article from yesterday. Now, Jamie, to give people, bring them more up to speed, we last talked with Chris Sheridan when?
Yesterday, I guess it was around 9 o'clock-ish.
And yeah, it was a voicemail? What was the last
exchange?
Yeah,
so we had a little text exchange, and then he called me when we were on air. I missed it. Checked the voicemail. Basically, it was, hey, I need to get approval from my editor before I do hits. You guys were the first to reach out to me. I'll get back to you when I talk to the editor, which should be shortly.
Okay.
And then we exchanged some text messages after that, and I said, hey, thanks for making us first. Let me know as soon as you talk to him. We'd love to get you on ASAP.
Okay. That's the last communication.
Last I heard was he was still waiting on his editor to give him approval to join us, and I'm assuming that never happened.
So since that moment, Chris Sheridan wrote a follow-up story.
Because I did ask for the editor's information himself, and he said, don't worry, I'm already talking to him.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. Right. I would have rather just gone to the editor.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the hell, bro?
Yeah. Are you going to give him to me or you're not? Yeah,
exactly. Get a definitive answer. So we go through this whole thing, and we reach out and all that stuff. And we know that there have been multiple media requests trying to get Chris Sheridan. Now, since then, he wrote a follow-up story, but Trey, it was not on NewYorkDailyNews.com.
Oh, yeah?
And it was not for the New York Daily News at all.
Ooh.
It was on a website, Heavy.com. And in this article, wrote about our friend of the show, of course, the PR director for the 76ers, director of communications, I believe would be a more proper title for him, Dave Schaller, who shot down the article via Twitter almost immediately upon its release. He took some shots at Dave Schaller, basically just saying he gets paid to put out fires and all that stuff. Well, I mean, that name one PR person whose job that is not.
Well,
but it's also
it was kind of like, yeah, like I got under his skin.
Yeah, a little bit.
He was getting chesty in that article.
Oh, Chris Sheridan?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, look what I made them do. Yeah, because you put out a BS story, and a BS story doesn't deserve some kind of dignified non-response, not say anything, saying something, you know what I mean? Where you just say, the previous things of the story were inaccurate. No, it was like, this is complete BS, everybody. Which made me believe it more, because it wasn't a political response. It was 100% BS, basically, is what Dave Schaller said. And Chris Sheridan quoted that tweet and put it in his story on Heavy.com.
Yeah, nothing yet on anywhere else.
So, bottom line, as of right now, we want to talk to Chris Sheridan. We want to get his side of, basically his reaction to all the people shooting down what he had to say. But two things came out yesterday. One was positive, one was negative. The one thing in the article that Chris Sheridan wrote was how Brett Brown had lost that locker room. And we had cited many instances that kind of disproved that. One being, how do you lose a locker room and still manage to win 51 games with that locker room? Mm-hmm. How do you lose a locker room and at halftime of a one-point basketball game, that coach goes in there that had lost the locker room and reams them out left and right, and then they respond with one of the greatest quarters in the history of playoff basketball? That doesn't happen. And Bob, Rob, you had another point about that, how he hadn't lost the locker room.
Well, if you schematically come up with a system to defense. Beat the Brooklyn Nets, and they follow it to a T, which was fighting through picks and all that, and to tell offensively, tell your point guard, I want you attacking the basket, I want us to win down low, and they go out and do it, I don't think that's how you that shows you're losing a coach.
100%. And another thing that would follow that, and I know in the past we've heard Brett Brown talk about Joel Embiid shooting threes. Nobody wanted to see him shoot threes in this game. He didn't shoot one three in this game against this game two against the Nets. So there's some instances that say he didn't lose the locker room. So this is what made me feel good about what Ben Simmons had to say when he was addressing the media yesterday at practice. Ben Simmons on that halftime chat with Brett Brown.
He expressed it. Called me out a few times, you know, where I messed up on plays and yelled me, so I mean, I love to see that side of him just because it motivates me and gives me the energy. So I mean, it's great to see that side from him.
Do you want more of that? I mean, or
when it's needed, I think, you know, he used it at the perfect time and it worked.
Yeah, everybody I think understands that. You don't want anything to happen where a guy's going to come out there and just start yelling and screaming, and next thing you know, it's white noise, it's ignored, it's just another time he's ranting and raving. I think people, Trey, have that theory, have that thought in the locker room that when you guys go in for halftime, any athlete, coach comes in, there's a chalkboard, he's got a rolled up newspaper, whatever, his playbook, and he's yelling and screaming and he's reaming guys out. How often does that happen?
Not all the time. I mean, you know, it's because you still want the guys to come in and get focused, to resettle back in, go over the mistakes that's been happening. But sometimes you do need to go in there and it needs to be fire and brimstone. I mean, you know, if you're going out there and having a lackluster performance, then, you know, that's when you need to come in there and kick over a couple of chairs and, you know, let everybody have it a little bit, because now you need to create a spark. If the spark isn't there, you know, because you go back and you watch how they played in the first game, you can see like it was just a dull game. There was a dull performance. The energy wasn't there. The cloud was just hovering over them. This was, you could see that in the second game, that there was a little bit more fire in them, but they just needed something to take them over to the edge, and that's what Brett Brown did.
And that's yeah, and it's good for Brett also, in that if he had any doubts, if this talk of him
swagger,
not, you know, making it in the city if they don't win two rounds and all that. Now he does that. They go out. They have a 51-point performance after he tongue lashes them. Now he has them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has them now. So now he can say things, and it's going to be heard so much more and so much better than it might have been before this halftime.
100%. So that gets said in the article, of course. That got written. And then the other things that got written were kind of obvious things I think we all agree with. For instance, if the Sixers get bounced out of the first round by the Nets, bye-bye Brett Brown. Right? There's no way you could justify bringing him back after something like that. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah.
The thing that I think would still happen, and I would champion, you know, what I would support, is if they get bounced out in the second round after not taking that step forward. Just in a general sense, yes, you got to move on from Brett Brown. Will the team, it's questionable. I don't know if they will or not, but if they do, it'll be because they got absolutely routed in the second round, most likely by the Toronto Raptors, who talk about a spark being lit under them. Game one loss. Now, those are things that I think were rather obvious about Brett Brown in the article. Something that I really hoped wasn't true, but even if it was, as we said yesterday, if Ben Simmons had a day off in Orlando, you would still want him to be, I don't know, paying attention. You'd still want him to be, I don't know, focused, I guess would be the word. Even if he wasn't playing in the game, being there on the sidelines, watching his teammates, maybe seeing something, helping somebody out, saying he saw something in there that could be exploited, whatever. You would hope that he wasn't going out partying the night before and then all of a sudden the next game was out because of a stomach virus, quote-unquote, right? You would hope that wouldn't be true. What Ben said to that question when he got asked about the Chris Sheridan article didn't exactly give me the warm and fuzzies. Here's Ben Simmons yesterday. Here's the question and the answer when he got asked about that game he missed with the quote-unquote stomach virus.
Ben, there's a story today in the New York Daily News that said you missed the Orlando game because you were out partying, and you haven't commented on it, and I just wanted to get your reaction.
I'm not worried about it. You talking about regular season?
Yeah, the okay, most recent Orlando
game.
We're
talking about playoffs, man. Unless you want to talk about something else, somewhere else. Playoffs right now.
That's not shooting it down.
Mm-mm.
That's something happened, and he doesn't want to talk about it. That doesn't give you the feeling of, ah, there you go, Ben, you showed him. Like, where's the denial? Where's the, yeah, that was ridiculous. Where's, like, something like that? I mean, Bob, yeah. You're standing.
I know.
Roles reverse, not roles reverse, but put you in the moment, right? You're asking the question.
I got the microphone to his mouth also.
That's the answer he gives you.
Yeah, I hear you. I think, obviously, it was talked about by the PR people, probably talked to the players about it, talked to Brett about it. May have given him the option of saying, do you want to address it? Or you could say, I don't want to talk about that now. I'm concentrating on the playoffs. He went the route of concentrating on the playoffs. The way he dismissed it, I don't think anyone will be gutsy enough to bring it up again to him. So in one way, he did shoot it down.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which way I would have liked him to go shooting it down. What does he say? Does he say that article is absolutely wrong? And then Sheridan comes back, and then this, and then that, and the other. I don't know. It was confusing the way he handled it. I hear what you're saying.
Look, there's sometimes stories will come out that, I mean, they'll sound ridiculous, but maybe there's one or two things in there that are true. And the way Ben addressed that question didn't make me think, oh, wow, okay, well, good. Ben didn't do that.
All right, so I'll be Ben Simmons, you be the reporter.
Okay,
all right. And you just asked that.
All right,
I'll answer the way you want him to, and watch how maybe this will go the way it'll show that what he did wasn't all that wrong.
Okay.
So I say to that, look, we did go out that night, the night before the game. There's no question about it. I did come down with a stomach virus the next day.
Okay, that's stomach virus.
And then don't you come back with, well, was it stomach virus from partying?
Right.
And then I say, no.
No, I got the stomach bug.
Yeah, and then, you know, so then it'll keep going. Then somebody else is going to say, well, were you guys out? Was drinking a factor? Was this? Was that?
Why wasn't I invited?
That would have been me. Where'd you go? Good place?
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah. I think it was put to him, all right, the way you're going to end this is by stopping all questions. So what will that answer be? He chose to say, I'm only talking about the playoffs.
That's not even a denial.
I know it's not.
All I was waiting for was...
That didn't happen.
That was ridiculous. That story was ridiculous.
Were you out partying?
Yeah. No. Why would it be out partying?
Well, there's video of you guys out partying that night in Orlando.
Yeah, but I wasn't like, partying. You know, that would be...
I would say, show me.
Yeah, I'd be like, really?
Yeah, show me.
I'm not being a wise, but wouldn't that question the credibility of it?
What?
Like, show me the video.
Yeah,
like, if you want to prove your point, you go... If you really didn't do it, you go, then show me.
Mm-hmm.
Prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you can't. If I wasn't out.
No.
You can always say you were having dinner.
Yeah, I was having dinner with my teammates. And I had a glass of wine at dinner.
Yeah. No, I hear. I believe
you. You know what I mean?
Like, it sounds like you got pulled over by a cop. It's like, were you drinking that? I had a glass of wine with dinner. That's all it was.
It was a really nice glass.
Totally fine.
Jimmy Butler was picking up the tab. I got the most expensive bottle they had.
So, actually, he recommended the bottle.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler's probably the guy that does look at the menu for an extended period of time, the wine list, and then just,
am I having chicken or will I be doing steak?
Exactly.
Red or white?
That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Maybe something in the middle.
Yeah.
A rosé, if you will.
Maybe.
You know, there's a great story about Buddy Ryan about being a big wine guy and whatnot.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I love wine. We got to go to this particular place. And they go to the particular place. And it's like, yeah, wine. What's on sale?
Wow.
Yeah. We got Carlo Rossi. It's always on sale.
Don't you miss that jug.
You get a bunch of mums.
We have several bottles of mums.
610-632-0975. We got Northeast Rick. We got Mohammed. We got wide open lines after that if you want to join in. 610-632-0975. I do have to tell you about Rothman Orthopedics. So your knee's giving you some problems. There's not a lot of jump left in that jump shot. Maybe a mile now feels like a marathon. And maybe a walk in the park is no longer a walk in the park. And it may seem like the only answer is getting some ice and finding some new hobbies, but why should you have to give up the sports and activities you love, and why replace what can be restored? That's the philosophy of the experts at Rothman Orthopedics. Their cartilage restoration procedures were developed specifically for highly active people who are experiencing pain, loss of motion, and increased swelling and stiffness. By resurfacing, realigning, and stabilizing your knee now, you may avoid further surgery down the road. It's the new approach, the Rothman Orthopedics approach, with innovative options for repairing your knee and restoring your active life. Make your appointment today at rothmanknee.com. That's rothmanknee.com, because you're too young to have old.
Backstage.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Knees. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk to NBC Sunday Night Football producer Fred Gadelli about this Eagles schedule. Trey, anything jump out to you regarding the schedule? Looking at, let's see, we got the three games away in October. Vikings, Cowboys, and Bills all at their respective stadiums.
All right, let's go Phillies.
Then, yeah, there you go. And then you also have the Dolphins in Miami on December 1st. Then you don't get on a flight for the rest of the season.
That's
then
awesome.
You did the Giants, you got the Redskins, you got the Cowboys. At home, you got the Cowboys, and then you got at the New York Football Giants. Not too shabby. Open up the season September 8th, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. We all, the morning radio, you always love the 1 o'clock kickoff.
1 o'clock's good.
But me, personally, fandom, love the 8:20. Love the prime time kickoff.
Yeah.
I love it.
I there's not a time that I hate. Yeah. I love all the times. 1 o'clock is, you know, your standard, your it's the comfortable one for me. 4:25, I think Jamie and I are on the same boat on this. 4:25 is the best. I like that a lot. Because it's still, prime times are in a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
I'm an old man. I fall asleep by like 10 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have that in me anymore.
Yeah. I don't like the Thursday night games.
Thursday night games are just stupid.
I don't like them at all.
Trey, if you could snap your fingers, would you make Thursday night games?
Yeah,
go away?
I'd be done with it.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine as a player.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. You know, your body, just when your body starts feeling good again, you're right back into it. So, you know, yeah, I'm not a big fan of it.
If I could say to you, I'll make Thursday night football go away, but I'll give two more regular season games, two fewer preseason games, and a second bye week, would you go for it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what the NFL is going to do eventually. Way down the line. Not like tomorrow, but like way down the line. Yeah. I think that's eventually what actually happens.
But you know what? Like some of the preseason games, I mean, but then if you cut out the preseason games, how are you going to evaluate talent? Because, you know, you use those later preseason games as a chance to kind of, you know, get an opportunity to see some of the guys that are on the bubble.
Gotcha. No, I agree with you. That's just one of the arguments that's out there. Let's get Northeast Rick. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Rick?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, so back to this Ben Simmons going out or not going out thing in the Chris Sheridan article.
Yes.
So back when, back in the time they lost to Atlanta, they had like a 2-day gap before having to play against Orlando where they got blown out by 20, which is what I think Chris Sheridan is discussing.
Right.
I was listening to like every podcast that night after, well, the day after they lost to Orlando, because I was just furious in the fact that they lost that many games in a row to the, you know, one of the worst teams, in my opinion. But anyway, so I was listening to Keith Pompey, and he was saying, because I think he travels with the team, he was saying that the team stayed an extra two nights, or the extra nights, in Atlanta, and the whole team partied in Atlanta for those nights and made it to Orlando the day of the Orlando game. He wrote about it, and also it was in his podcast that day. So, like, it infuriated me. I texted my buddy, and I was like, why is the team, like, doing this? I guess they don't really care about these teams. I guess they don't, like, really, they're just taking them lightly. Like, but I remember talking about it, and like, now hearing Chris Sheridan discuss that it was in Orlando, I don't think it was in Orlando. I think the whole team went out in Atlanta to do that Keith Pompey podcast and article. I can't remember the article.
Yeah, I had heard something about that as well. And thanks for the call. I got a little bit of bad connection there. But I remember reading something about that yesterday because a couple of people tweeted me about the Pompey story. I didn't remember reading that out of the gate. I didn't listen to the podcast. But again, with Ben Simmons, and this might sound obvious for some people, but he might have known that he had the day off the next day. I don't like the idea of a whole team going out and partying in Atlanta, but I don't.
maybe I'm too new school, but it doesn't bother me that much for a guy that's missed four games in his entire career. If he misses one at the end of the season where you know they're going to win 50 games anyway, and you almost know what your playoff seeding is going to be, it doesn't bother me, especially if he knew he had the day off the next day. Is it a good precedent? Is it a good thing to accept? No, I absolutely get that. But if he knew the other day off, if he knew the whole team was out just trying to let loose because maybe that's what they needed to do, then by all means, go let loose. I've heard stories about guys, particularly in baseball, and again, everyday sport, where managers have like thrown beer cases of beer on buses and said, we suck, figure out a way to win, move on.
I support that method.
But as do I.
Yeah, being on the road with the team, you see, they go out to dinner together. They do a lot of things together. But it's sometimes you have to give them their freedom. They're together. You know, an NBA season without playoffs, one of the seasons I covered was 200 days from beginning of training camp until the end of the season. You're together almost every one of those days for significant hours. Mm. Sometimes you need a break. I don't mind letting them blow off the steam. I'm going to get in touch with Keith because I vaguely remember something. I don't remember it being so bad as saying they were partying
right.
And didn't get to Orlando till the day of the game. Mm. I'll bet my life on that didn't happen.
Well, then, you know what? Maybe they just wanted to make sure they didn't see Markelle Fultz. Maybe they wanted to be in Orlando more than they had to because he was back with the team by then. He was no longer in Los Angeles.
You don't fly into a city the day of a game. That doesn't happen.
That seems somewhat taboo.
Know, Bob, there's the Claremont Lodge in Atlanta or the lounge.
Oh yeah, the famous. Yeah.
Is that the Mutombo incident? Yes,
that was Georgetown, I believe.
Oh, it was?
I think that was a college thing that his teammates put him up to.
All right.
Now, Claremont's the one that Anthony Bourdain's been to. It's the they have some older ladies.
All right.
Yeah, it's world famous. The Claremont Lounge in Atlanta, huh. Very famous strip club.
No, I've never heard of it.
No. Well, I'll have to do a show out in.
Why are you looking at me like
you lying to me, Trey?
No.
I've heard that Atlanta is a very, very nice place if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That, Montreal.
Montreal, I can
Tampa,
protest.
Mos Venus, I believe. Go up in a spaceship, have yourself a good time.
Been there.
Well, there you go. Yeah. That's a very nice establishment. Yeah, they got great popcorn.
Absolutely.
Let's get I've never been. Mohammed.
Popcorn.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I just made that up. Mohammed, what's up, man?
Not much. How you guys doing this
Excellent,
morning?
Bud. Thanks.
Yeah. I really don't. I think Ben Simmons answered the question the right way. You're in the playoff. Why are you talking about?
Because it's a story that's an attack on your character.
But how do you really, like, if you accept that, oh, yes, I went out on my day off.
No.
I got sick.
Okay. All right. No.
I got sick. Does that, like, what does that do for us going forward?
It addresses the issue. Plus, if you're Ben Simmons, what's wrong with even saying that's ridiculous? Or what's wrong with even saying, I went out to dinner, but I didn't get crazy?
This same story has been picked since yesterday. You guys have picked this story apart.
Uh-huh.
A lot of inaccuracies in this story. Why even give it the credence and go deep into it? Even if you answer it, yes, he gives an answer. That doesn't kill the story. If anything, it just gives it more
fire. No. If he answers by saying, yeah, that's ridiculous, all I have to do is say, so by the way, Ben Simmons addressed that yesterday. Here he is. Oh, that's ridiculous. Thank you very much, Ben Simmons. There you go. End of story. But now that he gives a non-answer, that only leads to more speculation. And the reason you give the story quote-unquote credence is it came out from a major publication that cited sources about a team in this city that a lot of people care about and a team in this city that a lot of people feel could be the next one to deliver a championship here.
I understand that. I understand that, but it's a 50-plus win season in the playoffs.
Right, and I love that.
To do. Why are we going back to that?
It happened yesterday and got talked about even more yesterday, not by us, by the team.
By the team, but I guess the team has decided we're not going to be answering this question. The players are not going to be answering this question.
I like definitive answers. You know why? Because believe it or not, I don't like speculation.
Yeah.
Look, 4 hours of radio, there's a lot of speculation that comes in here because guess what? None of us know what's going to happen tonight. I feel as if the Sixers are going to win. We broke that down, Bob, Trey, as to why we think they're going to do that. We talked about the strategy they should use. It should be very similar, if not identical. identical to what they did in game one, but there are a lot of other things that surround this story that need to be dissected, and we have done that. Whenever something is left open-ended with a non-answer to what should be a very easy question, that's not the way you end a discussion. You end the discussion by saying, yeah, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. It's ridiculous. Even if you want to say, yeah, we were out as a team. We had dinner. I didn't get crazy, but we went out. Like, what's wrong with that?
Nothing. And so anyway, I just talked to Pompey, because okay. Keith Pompey, because I couldn't exactly recall, and I couldn't find it. So they play in Atlanta.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.